It was in one of these years that the child was playing in the field behind the house, as he often did in the long afternoons of the fair seasons. Dashing amidst rocks and dirt piles, and from time to time noticing the sway of the crops which now grew beyond. He was a healthy boy, strong and stern enough, valiant with all the grand prowess of childhood that grown men lose in their weariness of age, never again to muster. The mistress was out. His sisters were busy with preparations for the evening meal. The breeze was tainted with the hint of lilacs, when, as he dashed past the azure sky under the long, shady branches of the greens, he knew that he was no longer alone. He couldn't quite hear her, and it wasn't quite laughter, but it was not crying either. He only knew that she was real, and not quiet, though neither singing. But unlike him, she was still alone. Immediately, in his childlike compassion, he loved her and sought for her between the rows of the near field. But she eluded him with the breeze. Child that he was, he laughed at first, thinking it a chase. But he soon grew weary and then felt he would cry. Even though he returned to his play, he remembered her late that night, after his sisters were long asleep and the mistress had bathed and wrapped him with her special poultices, the ones which she charred in the fire and spoke her words over, the ones which he must not speak of even to his sisters. He remembered her well, and he loved her still, and he knew she was no dream. She was real. For he was a healthy boy, strong and stern enough, valiant with all the grand powers of childhood, but he was already becoming man enough to know the difference between pretend and true. His name was Earth. "Do you know who she is, mistress?" he asked as she draped the deep, violet-scorched bandages upon his chest and arms. It had happened yet again that evening as he cut the wood for the hearth in the early seasonal snow. It was happening almost every day now. She was clearly there, sitting upon the stone beside the newly constructed city wall that now ran the length of their property, enclosing them and all of Alusa from the ever-stretching fields of the growing farms beyond. Her hair was the color of hushed straw, and she was dressed plainly, simple, but sleek and beautiful to behold, if she was real. "What are you babbling of?" the mistress asked, not paying him much attention. She never did during the nights, when she burned him with her secret bandages, dressing his upper body first, then his legs and feet, and lastly his head. He tensed as another heated panel was draped over his cool bare skin. "There is a girl, mistress," he said. "She was out in our yard today." The mistress stopped stiff, with her hands about to pull another poultice from the fire with her tongs. It was evident, her hesitation, her clear discomfort. But then she continued unabated with her work, her back firmly turned to him. "Is that so?" she asked. Her voice was colder than usual. "Yes, it is," he said. "Did you speak to her?" "Why, no," he said, only now shocked to think that he had not tried such an obvious thing. "I see," she said, coming to him again and laying the burning medicine upon his stomach. He hid the wince as best he could, as he always did, masking it in a pretentious offense. "You do not believe me," he said. "You're a child," she said. "Children play games." "This is no game, mistress." "So you say." "I'm too old for games. I will be a man soon." "You are already a man." "Then why don't you believe me?" he asked in earnest, nearly sitting up. She pressed him back, leaving the liquid fire to sink into his limbs. "Earth," she said, never ceasing to her task. "Should I even want to believe such a silly thing as a girl finding her way into our garden? There is a newly constructed wall as fine as any. Unless this girl you saw was a mystic or some child of winter zephyrs, she could not possibly have been in the yard." "But that's just it, mistress," he said. "A mystic. She is a mystic. This time, the mistress did stop entirely what she was doing at the hearth. She left the work and came to the boy she had raised so intentionally, whom she had weirded so carefully, balancing every art she had ever studied into her passion to make the child capable of absolving her of her so many other shortcomings. She looked him in the eyes as he lay upon the working table, covered in those horrible bindings which would nevertheless make him so very powerful, so capable, so tangible, beyond the scope of mortal men. "Earth," she said, "I have trained you better than to say such a mindless thing as that." "But I'm not just saying it," he said, his bold, childlike face pleading with her. "Then you have not told me everything," she said. "No," he replied, glancing away. She sighed, giving her own eyes to the fire, crackling its dancing flames in the shadowy room. All she had worked for, all she had done, had it worked better than even she could have hoped? "How long have you seen her?" she asked. "As long as I can remember," he said. "Could it possibly be?" "Then, as I said," she said, "you must speak with her." The mistress turned, stepping from him, taking her tongs again and lifting another drape from the fire. "Earth, you must ask her of her name."